This message that Jesus will come for us at the end of time is easy to recognize in our daily in our readings, but it's just as easy to miss the message that he's already with us today in our midst. As a result, we don't prepare properly for either of his comings, now or at the end. My brother, he retired last year at age 56, and he tells me about many of his coworkers who are not preparing for retirement. They make about the same as he does, but instead they're spending their money on vacations, cars, their hair, electronics, but not preparing for retirement. And like many people, they probably thought that, you know, they would get to it next year, or next year, or next year. And now they see it's too late. They wouldn't prepare in the day-to-day, and so instead of retiring in their 50s, like my brother, they will work into their 70s. In today's gospel, Jesus' words are meant to stir us and unsettle us. You must be prepared for an hour you do not expect the Son of Man will come. Today's gospel on the first Sunday of the liturgical year sounds a lot like the reading from last week, from the last week of the liturgical year. It really sounds similar to the message that Jesus proclaimed at the beginning of his ministry. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus' words unsettle us because they are the truth. The details of Jesus' analogy are striking because they're so ordinary. They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. And it's just such common events that preoccupy us and keep us from preparing. In Noah's time, the flood may have come quickly, but the ark did not. Noah didn't just go down to the local Bass Pro Shop one day, and then next week it started raining. Scholars think that it took him tens of years to build the ark. For years, the ark being built stood as a witness of a coming calamity. But people were going on with their lives as if that witness was not there. Tomorrow's going to be just like today, until it isn't. Yes, we should live well today, but don't forget that the kingdom of heaven is already at hand. How many people were traveling with the ISIS leader al-Baghdadi who thought they were safe? And they were safe up until the moment they weren't. And in a few hours, it was over. I used to work with a woman whose daughter and her fiancé were killed by a drunk driver. In a few seconds, it was over. How many of us have experienced that unexpected diagnosis, that accident, losing a job, that devastating storm? To say that the kingdom of heaven is at hand has at least two important meanings for us. First, heaven is imminently before us in the next decision we make, in the next thing on which we choose to focus our thoughts, on whose will we choose to do. There might not be tomorrow. The flood might come. The drunk driver might be around the next corner. We only have today, now, to either choose for God or not choose him. Second, to say that the kingdom of heaven is at hand means that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are in our midst. So too are the angels and the saints. Each of us, every day, walks with God at our side. But are our eyes veiled from seeing him? The kingdom of heaven is at hand, but have we become drowsy in our comfort, complacent because of our worldly success, or just preoccupied by the busyness of our lives, even as the ark is being built before our eyes? Have we stopped looking for God? Stop asking him to show us his face? Therefore, stay awake, because he is already here. He is here. I can tell you, I've witnessed healings of debilitating medical conditions at Eucharistic healing services. Last month, the Hispanic community had a Life in the Spirit seminar here, and I saw the Holy Spirit move in powerful ways. Last month, my daughter, while on a mission trip to Lourdes, witnessed an 18-year-old girl crippled for years by Lyme's disease get completely healed in an instant. I meet him in my personal prayer every morning. Jesus wants us to be better prepared than Noah's neighbors who did not know until it was too late when the flood came. The ark wasn't a secret, but the message was ignored. Jesus' warning today is not a secret. Will we ignore it? To help us not ignore it, to help us not forget that God is in our midst, to help us remember that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, we've been given something very powerful. We've been given the Mass. Being with God is not just an end-of-life event. It's something that's a here-and-now reality. And both of those realities are part of the Mass. Today's gospel message has both an element of future judgment, you must be prepared for an hour you do not expect, and an element of current reality, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Mass is preparation to meet Jesus in a profound way around his altar and also to encounter him after Mass. Mass is preparation, and yet how often do we come to Mass unprepared? How often do we come to Mass like the people of Noah's time, distracted by such common things as eating and drinking and working, or what that person in front of me or behind me is doing or wearing, by the cell phone vibrating in my pocket or in my purse? Mass is preparation for life. The entrance hymn prepares us to open our hearts to God in this place, that we might learn to open them to him in other places. The penitential rite prepares us to admit our mistakes and ask forgiveness before God, that we might be empowered to heal other relationships. The readings and the homily prepare our minds to hear God in new ways, that we might know him better tomorrow than we do today. The presentation of the gifts prepares us to make a sacrifice of our treasures and of ourselves, that both might be elevated and transformed by God's presence. The Eucharistic prayers prepare us for that intimate contact with Jesus, that he might heal us and unite us to himself. The dismissal prepares us to leave this place and proclaim the incredible things God has done, all in the space of about an hour. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Being with God is not just an end-of-life event. It is also a here-and-now reality. The Son of Man has come, is coming, and will come again. So what are we waiting for? It's been suggested that Satan's most successful tactic in deceiving people isn't to convince them that there is no God, or that there is no hell, or that there's no right or wrong. That his most successful tactic is convincing us that there's no hurry. There's plenty of time to change our lives until there isn't. Don't fall for that deception.